No, grand rising, everybody. Natalie coming to you live, spirit and coffee. Got my coffee huge shoes. Grand rising. I really like that better than good morning because we're not in mourning. Unless you are. In which case, I send you love and kindness and gratitude and all that good stuff. So let's get started. Yesterday, talking about the practice of, not the practice of esoteric wisdom, or practical use, talking about spiritual alchemy and remembering what spiritual alchemy was and understanding the natural law that exists before. I mean, it's always been here, right? The law of nature that we know of. Like, we don't have a time frame of where it started. We have theories, we have models, we say, oh, it was the Big Bang, it was this, it was that. But really, the origins and the beginning, we wouldn't be able to find that out unless we reversed time and said what was the beginning. And even in that, there was laws, natural laws happening in order for all of this to come to be. Okay, so kind of cool, right? It's an interesting thing, and there's already laws here. Now, we as a human race have tried to create human laws that sort of will keep order, if you will, within the species itself, within us. So we have laws that we've created that are man-made laws, and that comes from individuals taking a authority. Okay, they rise in authority. And we see this in nature. So I think it's natural for any species to try to organize their species. So for instance, we have bees, and bees have queens, and so do ants. And so when you look at the construct and the way that we have tried to construct society or this world is through kings and queens, right? We had kings and queens in the back past, we had pharaohs, we had all these things. And they sort of try to dictate what the law is and uphold the law. And so how did things get distorted? Well, I think consciousness came in, and so the unconscious shadow mind as well. Now, the shadow is something that's really, really, really been popularized now in this era. Shadow work is something that we denied for so long, and we have several religions who try to take out the shadow side of spiritual alchemy. Shadow side being the parts of us that we don't want to truly face or look at, or we pretend, hey, Tony, good morning, that are not there, that they don't exist, right? Or we shame them, make them wrong, and totally deny them. And what ends up happening with us and what ends up happening in our life is that we end up trying to be perfect and denying the fact that we are going through some shadow sides of our life. Now, shadow work is hard. It's the unconscious. It is the murky murk of the murk. And there's different ways to engage in shadow work. Shadow work is the dream time, right? It's the when we tap into the unconscious mind, the deeper parts of our mind, that we start to connect to. So we have taken that out, or I would say society, and I think a lot of religion, not I think a lot of religions have taken it out. Now, I was talking to my friend Lisa the other day, and we went to New York. And when we went to New York, there was the building of Scientology, right? And she was very curious. She wanted to go inside. I said, okay, let's go inside. Let's just see what they have to say. And so we went in, and the first thing I noticed was the symbols. Now, symbols are an articulation, are a representation of, what we how we see the world. And so looking at these symbols, I noticed that it had a pyramid on it. And I told her, oh, interesting. So they totally deny the sacred feminine, or they've taken it out of the equation, I told her. Before I even walked in, I knew where this was going to go. Very patriarchal model, not really going to honor the sacred feminine and all that she has to offer, or it, I should say, all that the sacred feminine has to offer. And so I went inside. Good morning, Rowie. And we went inside and we started to talk to the guy. And the first thing he said was, oh, we in Scientology will get rid of all your negative emotions. And then we go, what do you mean get rid of them? He's like, yeah, you'll never experience them again. And I was like, yeah, that's impossible. First of all, that's not even, what do you mean? There's no way that that's possible. It's part of this construct of life, right? And people say, well, no, that's made up. No, it's not. So if someone slices you, you're going to feel the pain and the suffering. There's going to be something there, right? Unless your brain is totally wired not to feel pain. But why do we have this mechanism? We have it so we can survive. We need that sort of discernment of what's good for us and what's bad for us, right? If we touch a hot fire, we know it's hot, because if we didn't, we'd burn up to ashes and we'd die. So it helps us to stay alive. So first of all, I'm going, yeah, this guy is telling me that we're going to get rid of all negative emotions. That's not the trick. And this is where the lie comes in. But it's a hook, right? It's a hook to get you so that you can say, wow, I don't ever want to, I'm going to throw them away. I'm going to throw all my negative, all the dark side, all the shadow, I'm going to throw it in the trash can. What ends up happening is denial. Denial of the shadow. And when we start to deny the shadow, we start to attach it to other things. And before you know it, we're actually living in shadow subconsciously without even knowing it. And it starts to run our life rather than us being aware of it and working with it. Okay, we don't just throw it out into the trash can. That's not possible. We think it is, but the reality is that's not what's happening. And then we start to lie to ourselves about it. So we'll start to lie and say, I'm happy, and I'm going to keep saying I'm happy until I think myself happy because that's how this works. No, that's not how it works. Because deep inside, you might be angry. And you're lying to yourself. And so this fraudulent fake happiness comes out where you're trying to sort of play this happiness card when you're really internally not happy. So how do we start to come to our authentic self using shadow work? Well, first of all, we've got to recognize that maybe we aren't happy. Maybe it's a situation. Maybe it's with an individual. I don't know what this, you know, situation is. We've got to admit it. And when we can admit it and articulate it, right, and say, look, I'm angry. That's the shadow work. To be able to see it. Now, here's the deal. How do we transmute it? That's the beauty of alchemy. It's the ability to take that shadow. It's the ability to take the awareness. It's the ability to understand that, yeah, maybe I'm going to hurt, but I have to go through this in order to come out of the other side and step fully into my joy, fully into my happiness or my peace or whatever it is. So the shadow side has been sort of denied and ripped from some religions, okay? And they say, well, we're just going to make you all happy. Or they deny the fact that there is a shadow side and that you then become a sinner. And then there's guilt right behind it. Now, guilt is not a bad thing. I'm not saying any of this is right, wrong, good, or bad, okay? I'm just merely explaining what arises out of the when you start to engage life this way, what arises? And what arises is guilt. So there's many religions that will say, you're going to burn in hell. You're going to do this if you do that and this and this and this. And so people are running around pretending they're not doing it or doing it and saying something's wrong with them. And now they have to go and get, I don't know, saved by who. And then they continue to do the pattern anyway, or it plays out in the subconscious and things start to ripple back and slap them in the face regardless. So the acceptance of the shadow side is hard, hard, hard work. Not easy. Probably the hardest part of going through spiritual alchemy is facing the shadow. But we have a shadow. And when we start to work with the shadow and we start to understand our shadow, now we can utilize that energy force. Okay. And I talk about it all the time, like with Dr. Strange. The person that was teaching him, I always forget her name, but y'all can tell me. She ends up, right, teaching or telling him that she's used the darkness in order to serve humanity and bring the light. Right? That's the concept of alchemy. That right there is full alchemy. You could say that she was a master of spiritual alchemy. Now they added all this three-dimensional time space. I mean, they added all this fifth dimensional stuff and, you know, entering into different worlds. And that really does occur if you are in the practice of the work. That's when you experience an altered state of mind and you're able to transcend body. So there's different ways to maneuver, right? And I'm speaking of spiritual alchemy because I want people to really understand the nature of the reason and what I work on. And this, what this podcast is truly about is spiritual alchemy. It is to leave wisdom and it is to have a home for people. It doesn't deny or take out any religion. It doesn't tell people how to engage in their religion. It doesn't tell people how to practice their relationship with God. It's merely a process. That's it. It's a process that helps us to refine our practices, to refine ourselves, and to start to mold, right, or go under extreme pressure so that we can start to shape our diamond self, right, so we can illuminate, right, so we're in illumination, and that we can shine our light into the world. And I did a picture of this where it was like a crystal, and it was like the light was shining through us, and sometimes there's obstruction in the system, so we're not able to fully shine and radiate the light through us, right? We're penetrating some of that light rather than reflecting it out, and we're holding it. Maybe because we need it. Maybe we need the light for ourselves, and so we're holding it inside. But spiritual alchemy is not a religion. It doesn't deny God. It could not accept God. So in other words, anybody who is a part or a spiritual alchemist practitioner or someone who is a practitioner of the esoterics or the great work, as they call it, will know that it doesn't matter. All walks of life engage in it. In fact, if you looked at Masons, right, the Freemasons, guaranteed this is the process they are using, one of the processes. But spiritual alchemy takes into account everything. It's like an integrated approach, and that's sort of what I'm working on, is the integral life practices. How do we integrate all of the practices from different walks of life? Now here's the deal, and this is what is cool, and this is where sometimes people get a little bit afraid. We have this ability to pull practices from all religions, from different religions, from different, right, different spiritual practices from different places. So we now can say meditation. Well, before, there were people who felt that the religion of Buddhism was evil. There are people who still think that. They think you're going to go to hell because you don't believe in, you know, maybe Jesus or whatever it is, okay? They don't recognize and realize that meditation is not a religion. It's a practice. And when you're looking at, let's say you're looking at yourself, maybe you are a Christian, right? And you are praying. Prayer and closing your eyes is meditation. Just another way to define it. So the education for people is to recognize, right, that these practices are not about religion. It's not about telling you how to believe or what to believe or who to believe. It's a process. It's an application. It's an ability for you to get closer to your to God or to your connection to the divine and the and your divine self, whatever that practice is. There's no one right way that gets you there. And this is why I'm a spiritual alchemist, because I have looked and searched and read, and I am on a journey for the rest of my life. And when I start to look at all of these religious practices, and when I start to look at all of the religion, I start to notice that we are more alike than we are different, and that each practice says the same thing. And I've said this over and over, and you guys know it. I guarantee, doesn't matter what religion you are, it doesn't matter what walk of life you come from, the main goal, right, to deepen your connection to the divine or to God or to the universe is to know thyself. That's it. People are pointing outward instead of looking inward. And it's why? Because it's not easy. Because part of that is the shadow. You have to look at the shadow. In order to do the work, you have to look at your shadow. Most people distract themselves away from that. So they'd rather talk about concepts and principles than live concepts and principles. We have to be able to experience these practices and principles in order for them to even apply to our life. Thinking about it and talking about it ain't gonna cut it. It won't. All it's gonna do is put words out there. You have to move your vessel in the direction that you want to go. Experience it. Experiential. So again, I'm a practitioner. That's where the practitioner comes in. Practical use of esoteric wisdom, not conceptual use of esoteric wisdom. It's taking the concept and living it, which becomes a whole other deal. It sounds pretty. It sounds so pretty. We say these words and it's like, wow. But then we live them and we're like, whoa, I don't know. It sounds pretty, but whoa, to live it is not the easiest thing. It requires courage and strength. You have to have warrior status. You have to be able to go through the fires and the pits and the flames. You have to be willing to allow yourself to be renewed, rejuvenated, reconstructed. You have to be willing to allow yourself to be taken apart over and over and over again, devoured and reconstructed. That's part of the work. That's the great work. We're constantly building down to the ashes, building ourselves back up, falling to the ashes, building ourselves back up. Over and over. And we see this, and people have certain scientists, right, or people in the academic world have tried to put this in like labels, right? So they've said, okay, there's stages of life. This is where stages of life would come in. Really, what's happening is a spiritual alchemic process within us, that we are not the same as we were when we were children. There's a core central part of us who we are, right? And so that internal construct might kind of be the same. Like I can still feel my three-year-old self. I remember and I feel the same, but the way that I approach life is different. I didn't have all of the wisdom I have now. So my approach, my practices, and the way that I engage life is completely different, right? When I was a kid, when I was about 3-4 years old, what I would do, and this was my thing, I like to be alone and I like to be in front of music. So I just always remember being in front of the radio and listening to like old school music. And I was by myself just listening to like Diana Ross and the Pointer Sisters, which is kind of funny. You know, I was listening to, I'm trying to think of who else. I just got drew a blank. But all of the oldies, right? All the good stuff. Paul McCartney. So I don't know if you guys know those names, but when I was little, that's what I used to do. I used to sit in front of the radio and listen to the radio. Always feeling like I was getting left, like they were going to leave me. Someone was going to leave me for whatever reason. I had that feeling. I'm not sure, but that's always been a feeling that I had, right? Which led to what I feel like is abandonment issues, right? So that's sort of an inherent thing that always shows up. How do I approach that though? How do I engage with that feeling is different. It's not the same. And I have different practices. For instance, going to the gym. I wasn't going to the gym at 3 years old. I wasn't lifting weights at 3 years old. So my practice has changed in the way that I engaged it and utilized that energy. Now that's my shadow and it's always going to be there. And it comes along with me, right? And when you look, even if you look at life itself and the lunar cycles and all this stuff, right? That's the shadow. That's the shadow reminding us that we're there. But here's the cool thing. Always notice there's still light. Even when there's darkness, there's still a spark of light. Okay. So again, spiritual alchemy is not a religion. Spiritual alchemy does not deny that there's God. Spiritual alchemy allows all practitioners to be part of the great work, no matter what walk of life. That is why this is a home to everybody. That is why everybody who joins in matters, and what they have to say is equally important. It's not a, Natalie, someone said, are you a sage? And I'm like, not that I know of. Are you a healer of this or that? No, I'm a Natalie and I'm a Nisha and I'm a Kamala and I'm, you know. But beyond that, I'm here to remind people that they have the power within them. You all have the power. And one way of approaching it is through spiritual alchemy. You don't have to throw out your religion if you have one. You don't have to throw out your belief systems. You don't have to throw out that you might believe in aliens and all this and that. Doesn't matter, because it's a process of how you approach it. And what are you using that's going to help you? If you believe in aliens, and I'm speaking to you, Tony, because I know we do. How does that help you in life? What does that tell you? How can you apply it to your life so that you can maybe serve humanity, so that you could become a better and closer, a better human being, and also closer to your authentic true self, to be able to articulate and communicate who you truly are and who you are, or even find out who you are internally. Who are you? Those questions are part of spiritual alchemy. And creating that space, opening up that space, and allowing whatever comes in to come in and saying, I'm going to look at this. But it's just a process. It's not a religion. And it's an opportunity for you to start to have a relationship with yourself and the divine. It's that interpersonal connection that you have that nobody else needs to know about. You don't have to talk about it and you don't have to tell anybody about it. It's yours and yours alone. And that's the beauty. But you can share it if you choose to. And also, what ends up happening is the creativity, the true creativity of yourself starts to unfold and unveil. And then there's this magical thing that happens. Okay. So there you go. That is the spiritual alchemy, the what it is, partially what it is. I mean, this is very broad sense. There's a whole process to alchemy, right? That they talk about in the soul and all that stuff, coagulation and you know, they have a transmutation, and there's these different processes that you go through, have different meaning. But in a general sense, spiritual alchemy is the process of us and our connection to the divine, and building that connection so that we can bring forth the most authentic, beautiful part of ourself forward and blossom into that. That's what it is. Like, you're a lotus, basically, blossoming into, taking the shadow, taking everything and not denying it, but learning how to work with it so that you can then be the better version of you. That's amazing, right? I think it's amazing. I love it. Okay, so there you have it. Small little audience today of one person, I think Tony, which is awesome. This message was directly for you. Anywho, have a fantastical day. It is Tuesday, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Perhaps I'll read some stuff from this essential spirituality. Okay, good morning, Kumar. So I love you guys. Have a great day, and I will see you all tomorrow. Bye-bye.